Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Doing my best.
Here's John Williams.
Here I am. It's 2:09. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Scott Simon's got a new book.
Lord have mercy.
About the Chicago Cubs. Imagine that. And we'll talk to him in about 15 minutes. In the meantime, go to Washington, D.C. Tal Copen is a political reporter for CNN Politics. Previously, Tal worked at Fox News Chicago and ABC 7 as well. Tal, you're on WGN Radio. How are you this afternoon?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about what's happening with the Sally Yates hearing today. What has the headline been, or were there any bombshells?
Yeah, so, you know, she testified for several hours yesterday evening, and so today we're sort of in the fallout stream of that testimony. And, you know, the White House daily briefing just wrapped up, and a ton of questions were about her testimony. You know, I don't know that there were any bombshells necessarily. She didn't come, you know, armed with a smoking gun, as I've seen written. But she certainly laid out a very interesting timeline. And one of the biggest takeaways, and now the biggest question for the White House, is that she first came to the White House, you know, with concerns about Michael Flynn possibly being compromised by the Russians. And he wasn't fired until 18 days later, after it was made public by the media that he had lied to the vice president. And so the big question that comes out of her testimony is why the White House waited those 18 days before firing Michael Flynn after she first flagged an issue.
Are we getting an answer to that yet?
So Sean Spicer was asked this in several different ways in the daily press briefing today, and he noted that there were some things that happened in the interim. She was asked for some follow-up information. The White House counsel wanted to see for himself some of the transcripts of exactly what the U.S. government was able to hear in some of the calls that Michael Flynn had with the Russian officials. But there is not a clear explanation coming out yet why those, you know, subsequent days after those transcripts were reviewed and after this concern was made were waited. And there weren't clear answers about why Michael Flynn was allowed to continue with some of the work he was doing, including sitting in on calls where this was relevant, why there wasn't a more aggressive action taken from the beginning. But John Spicer still defended those decisions and said, you know, the president made appropriate decisions at the appropriate time was sort of the thrust of what he was saying.
Wasn't she about to tell somebody something right when the president dismissed her because of her stance on the immigration policy?
Well, yeah, the timeline is actually really interesting in that regard because, you know, as I said, this is one of the things that became clear in the testimony. We found out that the days in which she was sort of expressing these concerns from the intelligence community and the Justice Department about Michael Flynn were the same days that the travel ban was sort of hitting the courts. And yes, you know, the reason that was stated for her firing was that she refused to defend the travel ban in court. And she, you know, talked about that a little bit yesterday, too, about how she felt it was not constitutional and thus she couldn't send lawyers out there to defend it, you know, responsibly.
Right.
That happened the same day as she was talking to the White House counsel. And so she wasn't able to follow through on some of the questions that the counsel had because she was let go. And so she actually, during the testimony, made clear that there was something she doesn't know in terms of how the White House followed up and requested from DOJ because she was already gone and cut off from the whole process.
Yeah. Senator Blumenthal said that if not for the public disclosures that you and I are discussing, Michael Flynn might still be sitting in the White House. I don't know if Sean Spicer responded to that or not, but when I heard that, I thought, oh, hell yeah, he'd still be there. If we did not know this, I'm not sure the president is of a disposition where he would have dismissed him. Maybe I'm underestimating the gravity of this, but I wonder if you have any comment or any information on that.
Well, you know, as press secretaries do, I think Sean Spicer engaged in some verbal gymnastics around this issue. He was certainly asked about it. You know, the stated reason for why Michael Flynn was asked for his resignation was that he lied to Mike Pence. Now, we still don't have a very good answer as to why the concern over that lie only came to a head after the press reported that it was the fact and not necessarily when the White House was first aware that it might be the fact. You know, this is something that the White House is going to continue to be asked. And, you know, there are a lot of people in Washington who are not big fans of Michael Flynn and never were. And in fact, the knives were out for him sort of from the beginning, from some of even the Republican establishment in Washington, D.C. There are a lot of folks in D.C. who are very happy to see his replacement, McMaster, come in. And so, you know, there's going to be pressure to continue to answer these questions for days, if not weeks or months, as the Russia investigation continues, because it's not just Democrats who are pressuring the White House on this timeline and on these decisions that were made.
Understood. Tal, the problem would be that General Flynn could have been compromised. She was so concerned about this when she found out some of the things that she did that she wasn't confident that she could safely talk about it over the telephone. She had to meet with officials in a secure room. Was there any evidence, though, that, in fact, he was compromised, that policy was changed or altered, or that the Russians maybe have something on us or on him as a result of this? Was he compromised?
It's not clear. You know, there was concern that he could be, as I think the extent to which she spoke. And, you know, there are absolutely things that she was not willing to describe, one, in a unclassified setting, and two, regarding an active investigation. And so there were several no comments. And, you know, she would say, I can't comment on that, and I don't want you to interpret me not being able to comment on that. So there's a lot we still don't know.
How Comey-ish of her.
Yes. Well, that Justice Department, they're very careful. But, you know, there is still an active investigation by the Justice Department and FBI about, you know, the potential links between Russia and the Trump campaign. And so I don't know that we'll know definitively until that investigation is concluded what the evidence actually looks like. But, you know, again, one of the things that the government screens for when they're looking at things like giving people clearances or, you know, allowing them security information is they're looking for the potential to be compromised because, you know, there are things that they would rather you admit in your interview, even if they're, you know, sort of potentially damaging character issues, than lie about. Because the biggest concern for government officials in giving someone a clearance is if they are prone to lying, then they have something to cover up, and that makes them vulnerable to blackmail. That's just a general statement about security clearances. So it's possible that even if he wasn't compromised, the concern may have been if enough material is gathered against him or there's potentially something he doesn't want coming to light, that's a, you know, sort of red flag even before it's acted on.
Yeah.
Again, speaking in generalities.
One last question. What was the lie that Flynn told? What got him in trouble here? I mean, to Pence or anybody else? Was it about money? Was it about his speaking? Was it about his other communications with officials before the election? What was it that he did that was wrong?
Right. You're getting at the fact that there are several issues swirling about. But, you know, the biggest problem is that Mike Pence went on the Sunday shows and said definitively that there was no contact, you know, as had been suggested by Flynn and Russian officials. And then it came to light that, and that he had not discussed anything related to Russian sanctions. Well, that did not match what had actually been surveilled in his conversations with Russian officials. And so not only was it that Mike Flynn had misled the vice president about his conversations with Russian officials, but then Mike Pence used that information to go on TV and sort of declare definitively what the truth was when, in fact, it was not the truth. And so it was that sort of double whammy of not only misleading the vice president, but then allowing him to go in public and say something
TV.
That was wrong.
And is there a transcript of what Flynn was saying in this inadvertent surveillance? Do we actually know what was said between him and those Russian officials?
There is a transcript or a write-up. I don't think we know the full contents of it. That's something the intelligence community has and has briefed others on.
Well, I'd like to know what that says.
Yes, I think you and me both and a lot of folks in Washington.
But, I mean, it's possible that it's benign, too, right?
Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, there's a lot of questions here. You know, there are some laws that prohibit certain kinds of, implications of being able to change policy with foreign officials, but prosecutions under that statute are extremely rare, if not non-existent. So it's not necessarily improper that something was discussed. The big question is whether Flynn in any way implied or told Russian officials that, policies would be changed in their favor.
Sure, I get that. But do you understand my point? But it's also possible that that didn't happen. It's also possible that there was no quid pro quo.
Absolutely. That's the flip side is, that's the concern. But there's no clear evidence that that is what happened. It does seem that the sanctions that were placed on Russia came up, and Flynn had denied that they came up
right.
at all. And that is what concerned officials. But you're right. We don't know the full picture of how these conversations unfolded, who brought up what, what exactly was said.
Nice to talk to you this afternoon. Tal Copen writes for and reports for CNN Politics, previously of Fox News Chicago and ABC 7 in Chicago. Is that right?
That's right. I miss it.
Yeah, you should. It's lovely. Not here today, but do come visit with us sometime. And thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Tal Copen from CNN. Scott Simon's in the studio in a minute. His book is My Cubs, A Love Story. Or is it Cubs, it'd be My Cubs, A Love Story, not Cubs, My A Love Story. Anyway, he wrote this book, and he'll join us next here on WGN.